The name Gloria Furman is a name familiar to many DG blog readers, and that's because she's a frequent contributor in the Grace at Home blog series at desiringgod.org. She's also the author of a new book just released titled Glimpses of Grace, Treasuring the Gospel in Your Home. The foreword was written by Lauren Chandler. It's a book loaded from beginning to end with the gospel. At one point, Gloria writes this, quote, "Contained within the gospel are the brilliant manifestations of the character of God, whom we need an eternity to behold and to enjoy. We're going to discuss how it is that the God whose steadfast love is great to the heavens is doing a powerful work in your life right under the roof of your own home," end quote. To give you another taste of her new book, here's another excerpt where she talks about the incredibleness of conversion, even ordinary conversion stories. This is what she writes, quote, "Being delivered from Satan, sin, and death is anything but average or boring. Having your sins forgiven and being redeemed and made alive is mind-boggling. The idea that anyone's testimony of blood-bought salvation could be uninteresting or unspectacular is a defamation of the work of Christ. Your testimony may have occurred in the most ordinary of circumstances, but behind the scenes, a spiritual battle was taking place. The Holy Spirit of God peeled the scales from your spiritually blind eyes, awakened your soul to the bright light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ, and breathed life into your lifeless soul. God rescued you from the domain of darkness, however gilded or ordinary or innocent it seemed. Then God transferred you into the kingdom of His beloved Son. No testimony that involves the Son of God bearing your sins on the cross in order to bring you to God could ever be mundane or boring. It is an epic birth story, a born-again birth story," end quote. I love excerpts like that one. Glimpses of Grace is a hopeful book, and it's a book for all women, not just wives and not just for mothers, although in this short interview, parenting will come up quite a bit. Gloria is married to David, the pastor of Redeemer Church of Dubai, and Dave and Gloria, of course, live in Dubai in the Middle East, a city situated on the Arabian Peninsula. They have a busy home. They have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and they're expecting child number 4 in just a few weeks. It's a busy time for them. Now, I read a lot of books for women. It's actually quite frightening how many books for women I read, and many of those books build into some sort of a community of moms who are all bound together into a community of awkward parenting moments. You know, you say your kid did XYZ embarrassing thing. Well, let me tell you what my kid, you know, you've seen XYZ happen with your kid in the bathroom. Well, let me tell you what my kid did in the bathroom. I mean, this is a fun way to build community, but sadly, a lot of Christian books for busy moms really don't press much beyond this. They end the message on a note that seems to say, it's okay if your home is crazy, your hair is crazy, the laundry is crazy, just chill. And those books connect with ladies on a certain level, I think. But what Gloria accomplishes in Glimpses of Grace is pressing beyond the busyness to focus on how the gospel is applied to encouraging and correcting a woman in her daily life. And for Gloria, everything goes back to the gospel and builds off the gospel, as you've heard already in the excerpts that I've quoted from. And I recently asked Gloria when and at what point in her life did she make this decision to push past the awkward parenting moments and to actually challenge and encourage women with the gospel in the daily situations of life? I asked her, was there for her a personal aha moment where this awareness finally clicked?
Yeah, that was a progression of things. I think before the aha moment was a season of uh-oh. I was working several part-time jobs and finishing up seminary. My husband was as well. And our first child was born about a month before we graduated. And so I went in a very short period of time from doing all of those things to being at home with a tiny newborn who didn't want me to write her any papers or file anything or sort anything out on the computer. She had all of these other needs that were foreign to me. And at the same time, we started traveling around doing support raising for our work overseas and doing some more trainings beyond seminary. And I saw over the course of time how my sense of communion with God was dwindling. And I blamed this on my child by name frequently to my own shame. I would set myself up for what I perceived as this is my time, quote-unquote, to commune with God, and I would set aside that peaceful, quiet time that I knew I would have no distractions from God, and then she would distract me. or something else would happen. And so, oh, great, thanks a lot, so-and-so. There goes my time with Jesus. I realized slowly as the moments came to gather and gather and build and build, I was filled with bitterness and anger about my season. And I would look forward to a time when I could commune with God away from all of those things because they were hindering me. That was my mentality. And so as we got closer to moving overseas, the urgency about my spiritual life, or lack thereof, was growing, and it hit me that all of these things can't possibly be, all of these bitterness and anger, couldn't possibly be God's will in my life, because surely if he's created motherhood for his own glory, then he can use motherhood and home life and homemaking to glorify himself and draw me closer to him. So I knew there needed to be a shift in thinking. I didn't know how that was going to happen, because I had so trained myself to think that when there's complete peace and my mind isn't spinning and there's no clutter on the kitchen countertop, then I'll be at peace. But really, the chaos wasn't in my home, it was in my heart. So the gospel, I found, was the only remedy for the chaos in my heart. And so that's when I started diving into reading more about the gospel, which I had previously thought or assumed was just a checklist on my Christian life. Gospel, check. Now I grow deeper. So when really all of that kind of came to a head when we moved to the Middle East around that same time, and I saw how the gospel was the means for my growth and sanctification in the midst of the mundane.
That's really good, and I think it's the strength of your new book. A major theme in the book is the importance of a woman preaching the gospel to herself throughout the day over and over. Obviously, it's true for women, true for men, true for everyone. In your experience, is there a correlation to reading books, and particularly the Bible, this discipline of reading, and your ability to focus on the gospel throughout the day? How do you do this? What does this look like for you?
Absolutely. I know it's so hard to carry around a big book in your pocket all day and fixate on words and dwell on them, but this is why I think scripture meditation and memorization is so key, so helpful. Before I had a smartphone, I would keep an index card and a golf pencil from a store in my pocket until it got sharpened down to a tiny nub, and I would write down thoughts from God's Word to dwell on that, and then pull it out of my pocket when I was sitting with my children or going about these things. And even before they could really understand what I was saying, I would talk with them about it and pretend we were having conversations about these things. And now that they do actually grasp some of these things, we can discuss, you know, what's in your pocket, Mom? And talk about God's Word, and they memorize things too, or even remind me of things that I've already told them. The accountability to do that will come in time, particularly if you have toddlers who are very good at reminding you of what we always, quote-unquote, do. But, Mom, we always do this on the way to there. And if you can include discussing God's Word, reading things, talking about His truth revealed in the Bible, it'll be a more seamless inclusion in your day. My husband is also very busy pastor and church planter in his work, and so our days don't really ever look the same. So I haven't guaranteed this hour or this half hour of those things. So I try to make it part of my food and consider it as I would be craving and hungry and thirsty right now for food. Scripture, God's Word, God's food is that much more life-giving to me. So I try to recall how God made food and my hunger for food to point me to the greater reality that I need His Word to give me life.
In the book, you talk about two deadly attitudes. The first is when a wife says, "I'm a terrible housewife." You say that's a deadly attitude. And the second deadly attitude is when you say a wife says, "I'm an amazing housewife." So what's so dangerous about both of those attitudes?
Yeah, the deadly attitude about being dwelling or owning the idea, I'm a terrible housewife. It comes along with this sense of, I know that I'm so capable of being awesome. I am so capable of being perfect. So I would just pile on the condemnation and the guilt and the self-loathing, and that becomes my perspective in which I view my life and what God's doing in my life, rather than looking to Jesus for what he says about me, and then even the strength to do what he's commanded, because I'm so fixated on how awful I am at this or that or the other, instead of looking to Christ for efficiency for all those things, even though it may be true that somebody may be struggling with cooking their whole life, like myself. That doesn't have to be the predominant reality about me, because God says that you live in the reality of the gospel, which doesn't change. So that would be the terrible housewife. The amazing housewife, where we walk around patting ourselves on the back, and it's really quite remarkable that, you know, we can do all these things, and when we hear our friends say, I just don't know how you do it, you're like, I know. I really don't know either, but I have a clue, because I'm pretty good at all these things. And some women are gifted to go about all these things and look like magazine models at the same time, and just have these seemingly perfect lives. But on the inside, I know that when I've had times of when things are going pretty smooth, I'm tempted and drawn toward basking in pride and self-righteousness instead of in the glory of Jesus, who secured my salvation forever in his body, and he hung on the cross paying for my sin. So the fixating on those extremes and having those be the defining reality about our lives in the home is what distracts us from living in the predominant bedrock foundation of life in Christ.
Something you address in, you're really concerned with a wife's propensity to think, if the house is clean, the kids have been properly hand sanitized, then there should be a lack of conflict in the home. There should be a shalom in the home. I mean, obviously, cleanliness is great, obviously, but it can also become a superficial attempt, and often a futile attempt, to bring about and maintain peace in the home or in a woman's own heart. Explain this for us.
I speak for myself. When those things are on my mind and on my heart, the outer chaos of my home, I'm fixated and obsessed over the how-tos of how to make it all go away and how to make it run more efficiently. Which is fine. There's tremendous wisdom in learning from other women, women you know, women you don't know, online or in books. But if all of that is done to the neglect of the inner chaos in your soul, as you're going about perfecting your life, quote-unquote, you can be driven to do things you never wanted to do because of the chaos in your heart. You belittle your husband's hard work. You overly criticize and harshly discipline your children. The hair out of place becomes the biggest thing you can see, and all of those things are a distraction from life in Christ, the joy-filled, glory-meditating, future grace reality that Jesus purchased for you with his blood.
That's very helpful, Gloria. I'll probably end on this. Are there any other warning signs that a wife should be aware of, or things that she can do if she notices that she is really putting hope in the cleanliness of her home to bring about a relational peace in the home, or even a peace in herself?
If that's your preoccupation, if that's the preoccupation of your heart, there isn't really anyone outside of you who can say that. The indwelling Holy Spirit can point those things out. Your friends can point out through your habits and things you say. But if that's something hidden, if this is a hidden struggle, then the indwelling Holy Spirit would be, he'd be my go-to. I'd say reveal what's in my heart. Show me if there's any way in me that's not pleasing to you. And he's faithful. He will do that, because he is earnestly, passionately burning white-hot glory for God, and he would be delighted to show you those things. And even giving you the courage to ask for something like that.
That was Gloria Furman. Thank you, Gloria, for joining us today on Authors on the Line. And before I go, I must read one more excerpt from Glimpses of Grace. There are so many excerpts I could read, and I would volunteer to read the audiobook if that wasn't totally awkward. So I'll close with this. This is from, I think, page 171. This is what she writes, quote, "For me, as I go about my day in my home, I can see how attempting minimalism and simplicity seem like the solution to my discontent. When I glance into my children's room after I've asked them to pick it up and I see piles of books strewn all over the place, the play jewelry has been dumped onto someone's bed, the tiny chunks of crusted Play-Doh litter the floor, I feel a tremendous lack of peace. The clutter bothers me, so I start lobbing vain threats into the atmosphere. If these toys don't get put away properly, I'll assume you don't want them anymore and I'll throw them in the garbage. I might make a mental note of the things I need to organize better. If only I had the particular closet available or more efficient system for storing toys and school supplies and clothes, whatever, then I'd be happy. I think that if I don't see any chaos, then that assumes the presence of peace. That's the deluding lie. I humbly submit to you, if your heart is anything like mine, it doesn't matter how well you've organized your storage closet, your kids' toys, or your inbox, if there is discontent bound up in your heart." End quote. That's from Gloria Furman's new book titled Glimpses of Grace, Treasuring the Gospel in Your Home. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Authors on the Line podcast. This free podcast is supported, produced, and distributed by Desiring God in Minneapolis. You can subscribe and find a full archive of episodes by searching for Authors on the Line in the iTunes store, or watch for new episodes online at desiringgod.org/blog. I'm your host, Tony Ranke. Thanks for listening.